Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Hello, and welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name's Mike Harrison, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. It is my absolute privilege to be with you today, and I hope you can tune in for the entire show. My guest on today's show is a very active real estate investor and property manager. He not only manages his properties, but also manages hundreds of properties for fellow real estate owners and operators. Obviously, not all of those folks are members of Lifestyles Unlimited, but many are. This gentleman's part of a husband and wife real estate machine that is involved not only at the ground level, one house at a time, one analysis of a neighborhood, one submarket, but also due to their investment and management portfolio can speak to real estate analysis and trends from a higher level. For instance, the Dallas Metroplex versus San Antonio. There are differences, yes. Real estate is not always the same, even in the same state, even in the same city. Real estate in Arlington versus real estate in Waco. This gentleman can speak to trends and best practices of various MSAs. And I guarantee if you stay with us for the entire show, you will learn something. I know I will. Later in the show, we're going to discuss the big national news that broke this week regarding Zillow. And if you don't know, Zillow, who's famous for get on the computer, go to Zillow.com. You can see all the homes for sale in a certain neighborhood, a certain city. It's very easy, pops up. They're also famous for their Zestimate, which is, I guess, a Zillow for estimate of the homes. And I've looked at that and kind of chuckled a few times. It's very rarely close, if even very rarely accurate. Their business plan was to buy a home from a seller, fix it up, then sell the home. It's essentially a fix and hopefully at a profit. And we wouldn't be talking about them if that plan did not turn out so well. And that's an understatement. But we're going to discuss that during the second half of the show. So stick with me. I'd like to welcome to the show co-founder and owner of OmniKey Realty, Michael Slaughter. Michael, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, it is my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Looking forward to it. This is going to be great. Michael, as we unpeel this, why don't you share with us a little bit of background and give us an idea how many homes you guys have under management and what areas you cover?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So I am a Texas real estate broker. I've been doing it for about two decades here in Texas. I love the great state of Texas. And we manage properties in Houston and that surrounding suburb, which goes all the way for that office, goes all the way out to Galveston, all the way north up to College Station. San Antonio, Austin, which kind of covers most of Central Texas up through Killeen and Waco. And then the DFW Metroplex, which in our scheme or our talk actually covers everything from Waco all the way to the Red River. So currently under management, we've got just under 2,000 properties, give or take. Of that, I own well over 10% of those are properties that I personally own with my wife. We don't do any kind of group deals, so those are solely owned properties, the majority of which being single-family homes.
That's quite a bit of turf you cover. That's bigger than most states in the country, I would say, just under your management areas. So, Michael, to essentially tee up today's show, do you see significant differences in these submarkets throughout the state?
Oh, absolutely. Each one actually kind of represents, in my mind, its own sub-state, as in it's its own microcosm. So each one of the areas has its own economy that kind of fuels what the renters are looking for, what the housing market looks like, what the housing styles are, what's available, and pricing. You know, a good deal in Dallas doesn't necessarily mean a good deal in Austin. In Austin, you could pay two times as much for the same style house as you could in say the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, but then you can get to Houston, and depending on the style, a lot of condos and multifamilies are cheaper in that market than they are in the DFW market. So each area kind of has its own fashion to what the real estate market looks like. And when looking through those things, you have to evaluate what the goals are, what the long-term goals are, what the short-term goals are to determine which markets kind of fit that balance.
I could tell you, Michael, it's even tighter than that. I own a lot of, or have owned a lot of houses in Fort Worth, and I can tell you that subdivisions that are right across the street from one another, I might have a property or three properties in one subdivision and then come across the street and get a couple others, completely different rent rates, completely different even rehab levels. When I'm looking at when we're redoing a house in one, I may do a full gray package with granite, and in the other, literally, I'm talking less than a mile away, but again, a different neighborhood, I'm not doing that same level of rehab.
Oh, absolutely. When you're looking, even in you bring it short to small areas, there's a neighborhood here which used to be a hot investor market, and it's called Providence Village. It's just north of Dallas, west of Prosper, Frisco. And Providence Village was originally an HOA. It became a MUD. The MUD failed. Then it became a city. In that area, for instance, everything there is a Cape Cod style. So when you go into...
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Okay.
There, the house better look like a Cape Cod style home. It better look like it dropped out of Maine or Massachusetts. And should not look like anything that literally... If you were to cross the street from Providence Village is the city of Prosper, which that is a very much a gray package. It better be granite countertops. It has got to be a higher level, even though they're literally across the street from each other. And you run into that neighborhood by neighborhood, depending on who the previous builders were in that area, the developer. And, you know, people a lot of times think, well, this house was built in 1960. What do I care? Well, it makes a huge difference because you find that people have a desire to gravitate towards family-style housing that fits their lifestyle. So, you know, the old, we used to call them the Fox boxes that ran through the 50s, 60s, and even into the 70s, which were all exactly the same floor plan that ran throughout most of Texas, actually
yes,
most of the country. Those guys take a different level of rehab than if you find the early Syntex, which they ended up buying, take something totally different because they designed the houses differently. If you ever open the walls of a Fox box, you see the difference.
Michael, you're exactly right. They're pushing us out. We're going to continue this discussion on the other side. My name is Mike Harrison. This is the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
I don't know which one bums you out more, the little wheel, you get in the little wheel and run, or the cubicle. Go to your prison cubicle. Think about being in prison every day. What do? You get up every day and stand in your cubicle. Maybe sit in your cubicle. What do you do when you go to work every day? Go to the cubicle. Whew. I couldn't put up with it when I was there. I had to get out.
Ready to get out too? Learn how at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Mike Harrison. I have a guest on today's show, Michael Slaughter. He and his wife co-founded OmniKey Realty, and they manage just a ton of homes throughout the state of Texas, not only for themselves, but for other real estate investors. And if you missed that first segment at all and you want to come back and pick it up, I'm going to give you three ways that you can find this show. For instance, if you've got to step out later and you don't want to miss that Zillow conversation we're going to have at the end of the show, three ways to find this show, really easy. First way, podcast app on your smartphone. Dial it in, find the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, subscribe to it. You'll catch this show as well as the show from the other host, Andy Webb, Al Gordon, David Rizika, as well as the great Dale Walmsley himself. You can find us on YouTube. Yes, we have our own YouTube channel, Lifestyles Unlimited, Dale Walmsley. That's how you'll find us on YouTube. And as always, the old-fashioned way, go to the website, lifestylesunlimited.com, click on the radio button. You'll find all the shows there, and there's also a nice search key down at the bottom. And for instance, you may want to learn about property management. We'll type in property management, and I bet this show pops up because we just happen to have a property manager with quite a bit of experience on today's show. So, Michael, when we left off, we were really keying on how real estate is just, quite frankly, local. It's different from one neighborhood to another. It could be different, literally a par four, essentially one house away from another. You can have different levels, different rent rates, different rehab levels, different looks to the home, different. I would even go so far as say, if you were to sell the home, one neighborhood might sell at a certain square footage than another neighborhood. But I want to get into real estate ownership where owners would hand it over to a property manager. Why would a real estate owner want to turn their product over to somebody like yourself to essentially run the business for them?
Well, there's a lot of different reasons that people come to a property manager. You know, this is a great industry. I love it. I'm passionate about it. It's a family business for us, and we've been very successful at it. But it's not for everybody. There are so many nuances that are involved. And so a lot of the owners don't have the time to stay up to date on Texas property code, which, you know, governs both evictions as well as the tenancy in general. They don't stay up to date on all the other nuances that come from local ordinances now. You know, it's since COVID, a lot of cities have tried to take into regulating rental properties within yep. them outside of rental registrations.
That's right.
And it's debatable whether they have the authority to do so, but it hasn't really been challenged yet to a point that somebody has said no. But on top of that, we have something that is unprecedented in everything that we've dealt with, and that is the Texas Supreme Court is actually issuing out doctrines. And they can't legislate laws, but they can dictate how we handle tenancies from the judicial side of it, which is what they've done. And, you know, they've stood out to try to protect tenants in all of this. So, you know, COVID-19 was a prime example. And we had people calling us every day going, well, I thought I could do this by myself, but now with all this, I have no idea what to do.
Yeah.
You know, is your property manager going to have all the answers? No, but we are able to use and fall back on our experience to find the correct answers, usually much quicker, but also be able to use our industry knowledge to make educated guesses, which is what a lot of property management is. You know, when you're looking at a lot of things, they're educated guesses. That's how investments are done. That's how your rental property is handled. And we utilize our experience to weigh those options and our colleagues as well. And being able to use that provides a resource. I tell people all the time that at the end of the day, most quality property managers will save you money in the long run, because even though you're paying them a monthly management fee, you're going to stay out of trouble for the most part. You're not going to get the 4 a.m. calls, and you have to value your time. What is your time worth? And I tell people that all the time. My wife tells me that all the time. You know, I still like to do a lot of handyman-style things, and sometimes I'm working on a project. It's like, what is your time worth to do this? Sometimes it's for fun, but other times you have to stop and go, well, is it worth my time to do this? Is it worth my time to get a 2 a.m. phone call? I have a staff that is paid and trained to take those calls so that, you know, at 2 a.m., because let's be real, water heaters never bust in the middle of the day. They bust in the middle of the night. I don't know how that happens. You know, fire alarms go off in the middle of the night. They don't go off in the middle of the day. Just think about the last time you fell asleep and you heard that stupid beeping when the battery decides to die.
That's always in the middle of the night. It's just how
Absolutely.
It has to happen.
And so the difference with us is we have a full staff that we can afford to hire on because of the mentality, the abundance mentality of having so many property owners, that we provide a service at a discounted rate, that we can provide these 24-hour services to allow your tenant to have a number they can call. So that if you turned your cell phone off that night, well, your house isn't flooding, because a lot of times tenants will throw their hands up. They don't know what to do. They're not homeowners. And at the end of the day, you know, I tell people, for the most part, always think about that time that you went on vacation and you decided instead of driving, you know, your Honda Civic or Honda Accord, you wanted to rent that Ford Mustang 5.0 GT and how you drove it. It wasn't your car, so you drove it like you stole it. Well, sometimes you run into tenants the same way. It's not their house. So, you know, they may turn it off and think
they're rough on a property. A lot of them are.
Yeah, we'll wait. And they don't know what to do. They don't know how to handle it.
Or they don't care.
Or they don't care. And having that resource, you know, we provide a lot of different options. So we do quarterly walkthroughs where we're walking not to harass the tenant. And actually, for the most part, the good tenants appreciate it. The ones that we've inherited from, you know, we take on a property that's already got a tenant in there. Sometimes They don't, because they've been able to do whatever they want to do. But for the most part, tenants appreciate these walkthroughs because we're checking things to prevent issues down the line. So, you know, my guys are not inspectors, but they walk in and out of properties all day long. So they're walking through and they're looking for small water stains on your ceiling. They're looking for small hairline cracks that we can monitor. Things that if you were to calculate up your time, is it worth it? But also, do you know how to handle it if it comes up? And so those are the other benefits. Then we also have the fact that we have, you know, we're able to bring on basically our own handymen that work for us, our field team repair group, that can make repairs across all of the properties. Well, we have that abundance ability. We can buy supplies in bulk. So I keep a warehouse stocked with most of your basic items that, that every investor can need, disposals, you know, things like that, light switches, sockets, things that you're going to use throughout the course of owning a property. It's going to break. Well, it allows us to do those things much less costly than if you just called somebody out of the Yellow Pages. And I know people don't use Yellow Pages anymore, but it's the easiest analogy to use, I guess.
No, but I know what you're saying, because a novice investor, an uneducated investor, if they're not trained and educated on a property management, or if they don't have a mentor to call or somebody like that can get in trouble really quick. And then the opposite side of that is you have a lot of owners that think that they just hand you the keys and they don't have to be an owner of the property. And that's not true at all. There are some expectations of the owners.
Absolutely. There are expectations of the owners too. It's not just handing over and dumping. We become a partnership. You know, I tell people, if it's a quasi-passive approach to have a property manager, but it's not full on, because we need your support. And what I tell owners all the time is you have to develop a basis of trust with your property manager.
You do, Mike, and that, amazingly, they're pushing us out again on this segment, but we're going to continue that discussion briefly on what makes a good real estate owner within the partnership of a management company, and then we're going to pick up that Zillow conversation. My name is Mike Harrison. This is the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this, because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gains and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning. Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Mike Harrison, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. We're talking about property management today. My guest on today's show is co-founder and owner of OmniKey Realty, which is a property management company right here in Texas, Michael Slaughter. And Michael also happens to be, he's unique in that he's not just managing properties. He and his wife have quite a portfolio across the state themselves. And that's why I always kind of tap them on the shoulder occasionally when I need information or I need advice. I'm doing it on a certain level, and these folks are doing it on a level that's several floors above where I am. I do want to throw out my email address if you have any questions, comments, concerns. You just want to reach out to me. I'm happy to respond. I do respond to each and every email personally. That's askmike@luinc.com. askmike@luinc.com. Michael, before we get any further into it, in case somebody wants to contact you or if they've got some real estate questions or property management questions, how could they do that?
There's a couple of different ways. Our website will get us get them through to us. It's omnikeytexas.com. They can call us. Phone number is 972-480-8280. That's our local number for our Dallas office, which is where I'm based out of. But you can call through there, and it'll go direct to us as well. And we'd be more than happy to answer any questions. They can also email management, spelled out, at omnikeytexas.com. And we have a team who that's their job. They respond to questions through there as well. I always tell people, even if I'm not your property manager or you want to manage it on your own and you've got questions, we never hesitate trying to answer and help. So at the end of the day, we're all in this together. If you want to manage it yourself and I can provide, you know, a quick answer or direct you in the right direction, I don't ever have a problem with that, because ultimately most laws are created because one person didn't do something right. You know, look at the Dallas rental registrations was because of one owner. And once Dallas took off with it, everybody else did. So that one owner has now cost all of us hundreds of dollars a year on our rental registration fees for properties.
Mike, why don't we, before we get into the Zillow, and yes, you're correct on that, that real estate is a group sport. There's no doubt. But before we get into that, Zillow, why don't you just take a couple of minutes, and what are some expectations that you as a property manager expect from the property owners?
Trust and communication. You know, at the end of the day, it is a trust. It is a team relationship. This is not an employee-employer. It's not an independent contractor type relationship, even though that they are. It has to be a team, because at the end of the day, we have processes in place that make our management affordable. You know, usually I go out and I check it, and we're still one of the most affordable in the state that I can find, especially for what we offer. And two, to be accessible when we need that, because we do have things that come up. You know, unfortunately, we have to protect investments. And sometimes that is that unwanted call that something is broken in the house and we've got to get it fixed.
Yeah.
I need to be able to get those approvals. And, you know, one of those things, and it kind of falls into that trust. And at the end of the day, I understand bidding everything out. That is very important. But also being able to trust sometimes that when things are sent out there, we had one, a client, and I'll tell just a very quick story to give an example to this, not a Lifestyles member, but she was very adamant that every time we would get something quoted, she would want to send somebody else out there. Well, the freeze happened last year, and it busted the pipes in the house.
You got to react quick.
We have to react quick. So we got a remediation company out there whose job was to turn off the water and to start sucking it all out. She stopped it. She wanted to get her contractors out there.
Oh,
so, okay, fine. We did that. And, you know, mind you, our network of contractors is large because we've done this and we provide a volume of business. Whenever somebody comes to me and says, well, my person will do it cheaper, I'm usually hesitant, and I'll let anybody use whoever they want. But I'm always hesitant because my guys know that if, one, you do sometimes get what you pay for a lot of times. But if my guys know that I'm getting bids or I'm getting owner pushback, especially my vendors, they know that I call that into question. And if I call it into question, I find a new vendor, and they don't want to lose that. So they provide us a bulk pricing on everything.
True. But in this my thought is how upside down is the life of my resident? And there's too many owners that just, oh, it's just an investment, and here's the keys. I got the management company, and instead of spending $35 to replace that broken outdoor light, let's bid it 14 ways to midnight. That's ridiculous. If you've got an issue, think about the resident, think about their life. They have families, they have children. They want to get back to their life. And if it costs you a couple $100 more to do that rapidly, do it. It's a good investment. Best product, best price means best owner too.
Well, that's absolutely it. The product is the entire package, right? It's the relationship. It's the living experience. You know, you might not have the best tenant in the world, but you always do what you can do to make it the best experience. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we run into. This particular owner bid it out. She ended up with that horrible biological growth throughout the entire place because she kept playing the game. And it was this contractor. Well, he didn't show up to this contractor. And by the time she came back to us and said, you know what, just use yours, I was able to schedule that. But it had been over 40 days.
Oh,
and he went out there the very next day. So Now the bid went from something fairly minute for the situation, which insurance would have covered, to this massive expansion of work that was required.
And insurance isn't happy if you don't mitigate that right away. They can fight you on that and say, hey, no, 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 you should have, you know, addressed this.
But it's kind of the argument of basically spending a quarter to save a dime. And when you try to do that, sometimes it will bite you. You know, these tenants, it's about the experience. So, you know, if your tenant in Texas is without air in the middle of July and you want to bid out four AC companies that are already backlogged,
fix it.
So each one, you're going to be in a much better position, because I'll tell you, when you end up finding that one lone guy who's willing to do it for $150 less, well, I've already put your tenant up in a hotel because I'm not going to let him live in that house in 105 degree heat.
And I've seen that guy is going to show up and Coors Light cans are going to fall out of his truck. I know.
Absolutely. He saved you $50, but you spent $150 putting a tenant up somewhere. Those are the things you have to do, because you don't want the reputation of your property. You know, a lot of people say, well, what do I care? It's your reputation, not mine. Well, those are the owners, one, we don't want to work with, because it's a group thing. If it hurts our reputation, it hurts every owner that we manage for. It hurts my rental portfolio. But two, no, it is your property, because that tenant talks to the next door neighbor. So when we put it back up for lease, and the next door neighbor sees somebody walking into the house, I've heard it before. The neighbor will go running to that person to tell them everything that happened during the course of that last tenant.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are the things that we avoid, because at the end of the day, we want to make this a profitable investment for somebody. We don't, you know, that's what I tell people all the time. We want all investments to be profitable, whether it's mine or anybody else's. And at our office, my staff, short of doing a lot of research, when they look at a property address, my repairs department or my collections team or my applications team, until they get to the owner information, they don't know my properties from anybody else's. They're all lumped in with everybody else's in the same system, and I expect mine to be treated like everybody else's, and I expect everybody else's to be treated like mine.
And your level, your houses have to be run just as well as all the other houses in the neighborhood, because, again, everything that we've been talking about is a team sport. And when an owner wants to bid everything out, you're kind of poisoning the golden goose. You're making the golden goose sick. And if you want that goose to put those golden eggs in your hand every month, month in and month out, take care of that goose. And there will be times when, look, roofs leak, ACs break, pipes break, but there's a time to penny pinch and try to save money and be realistic. And then there's a time to act and react. And again, Michael, this is perfect for our last segment, because everything you have told us today is just how localized real estate really is, just how somebody needs to be on top of it, quarterbacking this product, this management, this home, this neighborhood, etc. So when we come back, we're going to talk about what the heck happened with Zillow and why they're doing a $550 million write-off. My name is Mike Harrison. This is the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Del Wamsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day, and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is, you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy is going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Mike Harrison. Joining me today is our guest, Michael Slaughter, owner and co-founder of OmniKey Realty. And Michael manages an assortment of homes throughout the entire state of Texas. He's definitely involved in the heartbeat of real estate at all levels throughout the state and the uniqueness of each of those products in each of these markets and submarkets. So, Michael, I've read about 8 or 10 articles putting this last part of the show together, but I just want to read a little something to you here and let you comment on it. This is from CNN Business Online, came out November 2nd. Title is Zillow to Exit Its Home Buying Business, Cut 25% of Staff. It says Zillow is buying out of the iBuying business and will shut down its Zillow Offers division, resulting in a 25% reduction in staff. In its quarterly earnings report on Tuesday, the company said that it will see a total write-down of more than $540 million as a result of its exit from the business, which buys homes and resells them. As a result of shutting down Zillow Offers, the company said it will be cutting some 2,000 jobs. Michael, Zillow started this in 2018. I've been in this business beyond, well before 2018, so have you. You got to try to lose money in this, and I don't understand. What the heck happened with Zillow?
Well, they definitely tried and were very successful at it. You know, there have been a lot of companies who tried this model throughout the years. I mean, we've all seen them. And usually it's the big fear factor initially of, oh, they're trying to take over the real estate market, which is what Zillow tried to do. You know, they came in and they were buying, they were what I call peppering the entire country with purchases, trying to control market. And this is where I think some of their estimate kind of hurt them, because those estimates are off. They're usually way low or way high. And a lot of times they're way high because it doesn't know how to read a localized market. And they were buying based on that. And then you have the issue that they were buying these houses needing work, because, you know, there was another company several years ago, very successful in this right after the crash, and they continued in the crash. I'm talking the kind of the 07 to 09 era. As it was coming out of it, they were starting to buy these properties up, and they could work with contractors. Well, in today's world, contractors have more work than they know what to do with. And so do you want to work with a localized investor who's buying multiple properties in your area, or do you want to work with Zillow, where you've got to fill out a ton of paperwork, you'll get paid in 4 to 6 weeks? And you know, these were the reports that were posted through a lot of these. And, you know, that article you're talking about, that was actually posted on social media platforms, and there were comments from contractors who were like, I still haven't been paid. I worked on a house before for them, still haven't been paid.
Oh, Lord.
I don't know if those are valid claims, but those things hurt. And the other issue that happened is Zillow, before they started all this, they turned their sights to the real estate industry, and they started hurting all of us. You know, both real estate agents and brokers, members of the National Association of Realtors, as well as localized investors, because for the most part, we could apply, we could subscribe to different IDX data exchange websites that could broadcast our listings across multiple platforms, one of which being Zillow.
Yeah.
Well, Zillow started taking that away and going, well, now you have to pay us per listing you want to put on there. Well, now we're going to increase that cost per listing. And, you know, you're going to have to pay us monthly for it to stay up there. And, oh, our listings are going to go higher than yours.
We all went away from Zillow.
And everybody did.
We said sayonara.
They miscalculated how resilient the real estate industry is to go, we make or we break any platform, because we are a team. Yeah. And when they attacked the National Association of Realtors, the National Association of Rental Property Managers, and they attacked the apartment associations by saying your platforms can no longer sync with us, well, we all found unity in the fact, well, fine, we're going over here.
Yep.
And, you know, Realtor.com has been one of the largest platforms that's out there. Well, it was still an open IDX-style form that a lot of things could sync to. And as a result, they just stayed back on top. And Zillow didn't know how to price houses. We've got somebody who I know fairly well with an estate situation. They were selling a house, and they had gone through, you know, your home investors and all the local guys, because they wanted to dump the house. It was a higher-end home. And they were trying to sell it off. They went to Zillow and just put in an offer. Zillow came in $40,000 higher than anybody else. So they sold to Zillow. Well, there was no way in that world, that house was worth it. But nobody walked it. Nobody looked at it. They took a couple of pictures, and they did this, and they did that. And their due diligence was using their system to scour the market. But their
Michael,
hope
if
was,
I can interject, when I was doing my research, it said Zillow purchased almost 10,000 homes, but only sold 3,000. So they're dumping 7,000 homes. But the average home that they sold of those 3,000 was at an $80,000 loss. How can, I mean, these guys, I don't even know how you do that. It's unbelievable. How'd they get it so wrong?
By not understanding construction prices. And that goes back to our conversation that has been this entire hour, was localization of real estate. And it's not just localized state by state or county by county or city by city, but neighborhood by neighborhood. They didn't know localized pricing of contractor repairs and all that. They were using national averages, which don't buy you any favors, because no. They would bid these off of photos and make assumptions. And so they were taking these properties in after rehab value, ARVs, as opposed to looking at its existing value, you know, prior to anything.
Yeah.
And with doing that, it burned them badly. And then you also had the push that, well, at the end of the day, real estate agents didn't necessarily want to work with those listings. You know, there was a bit of a bad taste in the mouth, and buyers didn't want to have to deal with it. With all these other properties going out there, they didn't want to deal with a mega corporation to purchase. And
no. So they're probably telling the real estate agents, you got to sell at a discount or buy at a discount. They probably weren't paying them in full. And I always pay your real estate agents, people. They're worth every penny. But anyway,
especially when it's on a listing side. And, you know, I know a few of them came up here. I was actually looking at it prior to this. I saw a few of their listings even now. And when you were looking at the properties that they have going, there's something like 16, when I looked at it, that are in Dallas County that they're selling. 16 properties is all they had. You can't control a market with 16 properties in Dallas County.
I couldn't control any market with 16 properties. Yeah. Or
no,
a neighborhood even.
When you look at what they paid for and what they're listed at, they're still sitting, but they're also offering a 2% buyer's agent commission. So it's going to be
sitting.
Tough. You know, it's the market. A lot of people are under the impression the market is cooling. I don't hold that belief. It's just it's off season. So we're also seeing that influx that it has slowed down. But then the problem with the market is so many people went insanely overpriced because they're hoping to get it.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people who have listed their houses that I know personally are like, well, I just put it out there myself. I'm not going to use an agent. I'm going to for sale by owner.
Wrong.
And I'm priced it so high that I'm probably not going to get anything, and I don't really want to move. But if I get that price, I'll move. So I'm seeing a lot of those listings come out too, where people are kind of, you know, betting it all on red and waiting for the wheel to stop to see what happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of the approach I think Zillow took. And it's kind of a situation where the ball didn't stop on red for them. It hit black, and now they've lost, because this is not going to just affect their offer division. And I think we will see this. They're going to have to do real change to bring themselves back relevant, because the bad taste that's there, it doesn't go away. You know, that's kind of what we were talking about before, being a team sport. Well,
yeah.
If you've got that one team member who is just telling everybody else how much better they at whatever they're doing than you, well, you start to develop a bad taste, and everybody goes over to their other friend clique and say, you know what, we'll just hang out with these people.
No one wants to do business with you anymore. If you're going to constantly nickel and dime everyone, from the contractor, from the guy putting the carpet in, all the way to the real estate agent or the listing agent, yeah, no one's going to want to do business with you. I looked at it as a massive arrogance from Silicon Valley, because they had access to money and cutting edge technology, and they didn't understand relationships or local level or care about it. I think they felt that they could treat a house like a stock and almost move the price by buying so much. Is that what you see?
That is exactly what their plan was: market manipulation through acquisition. And you know, it is something that was so clear. And I know in our industry, it was the doomsday when they said they were going to start doing this. That this is it. You know, buyers are never going to be able to beat Zillow out to buy a house, and you know, we're not going to be able to continue to do our business. They're going to be the forefront now. That, you know, if you want to buy or sell a house, it's all Zillow. And I didn't believe that. You know, I tell people, when the real estate industry started and it became licensed in Texas, the MLS was still there. The multiple listing system was still there. it was just in binders. And, you know, your local MLS had it. And you'd go to the local MLS office and you'd pull it up, or your local association office, rather, and you'd grab the binders for the area that you were looking for, based on a lettering and number system, and you would flip through the pages and find the listings, and that's how agents did it. Well, then eventually we had computers. It is still the number one way. People want personal contact. You know, I guess that's something that is hard to say with the post-COVID, or I guess current COVID situation that we're experiencing, but people still want personal contact. And
right.
Zillow doesn't provide that. You know, there is nothing personal there. You have a group that is sitting in different offices throughout the country who have no idea your local market.
What a fantastic show. Very interesting show. I absolutely want to thank you for taking your time today. Free listeners out there.
Me.
Absolutely, Michael. Tell Leah we said hello. Free listeners out there, I want you to understand. Get educated. Build your team. Know what you're doing, but real estate is a beautiful investment. That's why we say it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.